Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And I'm here to provide a beautiful radio listening experience and a simulcast experience. It's great to be here. All right, let's get it started. I've got an open phone segment first, 1-800-636-8686. Our first interview is coming up at 40 past. Victor Hovland, PGA Tour Pro, winner of the Puerto Rican Open, joins me then, 9:40 Pacific Time, 12:40 Eastern Time. So I've got time between now and then for a telephone call or more, 1-800-636-8686. The Scouting Combine is upon us. NFL Draft right around the corner, which means I'm going to run down NFL Network analyst and LA Chargers broadcaster Daniel Jeremiah. Peyton Pritchard is a senior point guard for the Oregon Ducks. We will have him in hour number three. Hey, Adam Hawk, Podcast Wednesday. Wake the hell up. As a reminder, it is Podcast Wednesday, XR4TI. Don't you forget it. Scott Pioli is my guest, and we'll push that out a little bit later on for you. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me too at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. Now, I said on Monday that I would gladly take seven games of Lakers-Celtics in the finals. Nothing has changed since then. I stand by that. But you know what else I would take? I would take Lakers-Pelicans in the first round. Here's my wallet. Yo, take my money. LeBron v. Zion, AD versus his old team. AD, what's good? I would take that. Hey, Alex Caruso v. Lonzo Ball. Yeah, forget about that one, because there is no sport in that matchup. The Caruso is winning that in a runaway. But the other two storylines still work fine. You know what else is pretty good? LeBron, Raymond James Sr. And I say what, not who. I say what because at this point, I'm not convinced that this dude really is one of us or one of them, only that he's one of one. Like, I thought that I had seen pretty much anything and everything regarding LeBron, except I was wrong. I mean, that was one hell of a night from LeBron last night, starting with the pregame intro from Ric Flair.
Los Angeles, home of the great franchise in sports, the LA Lakers, and the home of the greatest athlete in the world today, LeBron James, the King. Woo! Woo! Lakers, let's do it.
Like, you hear the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing, limousine-riding, jet-flying son of a gun introduce you, and you're going to go off. Woo!
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 And LeBron did. 40 points, 8 boards, 6 assists. He had it all working. 5 of 11 from deep. What I'm saying is the Pelicans had a hard time holding LeBron's alligators down. And there was no better evidence of that than this break involving the King and the Bald Eagle. Go ahead and roll it. Roll the hell out of this.
Got a hand on it. Now Caruso runs a break. Caldwell Pope goes to the wing here. James! Oh! Punch it home, LeBron! Woo!
Thanks to TNT, but most of all, thanks to Alex Caruso going through the legs to the trailer. LeBron, who threw it down over Josh Hart. Man, that was beautiful. Nasty, humiliating, all those things. And it was also a guy in his 17th season who has thousands of miles on his legs getting up and throwing down on a kid. It's amazing. I've got no idea how that old man still has that kind of bounce. I can't explain it. Instead, let the leader of the Caruso break that play down for you.
Once I got it, the only people in front of me were Etwan, Jay Hart, and then two people were over in the corner. I wasn't sure who they were, so I was just trying to attack, and then I heard Bron say, and he said something either behind me or trailer or something like that, so I kind of just trusted him and threw it.
Yeah, something like that. You know, I've got no idea still how LeBron is doing this. It's not normal, and the fact that he makes it seem normal is totally abnormal. You don't have to like this guy. Some of you may never like this guy, but damn, you got to respect him. You have to respect him, and probably best to enjoy him, because we're never going to see another like him ever again. Don't take it for granted, no matter how long he's been doing it, no matter how easy he makes it look. When LeBron retires, there is never going to be another player like him. And he had that 11-0 run early in the second half when he did pretty much whatever he wanted. Again, 40 points on a night at 35 years of age, making him the oldest to get to 40 at Staples since Kobe. You do that in a game against a playoff contender, you get tacos for the fans on Taco Tuesday. If you do that, then you get to enjoy a red vine on the bench in the final seconds of that game. You know, the red vine king himself, Howard Beck, had to be fired up about that. Had to be fired up that the king was enjoying a red vine at the end of the game. I repeat, when LeBron retires, there is not going to be another player like him. And I say that having just watched Zion do what he did last night, going for 29. Just as LeBron is freaky as hell, doing what he did nearly 1,500 games into his career, Zion Williamson is freaky as hell, doing what he just did just 13 games into his career, doing things like this.
Redick giving up a lot of size. Zion finishes with this strong hand. First lead of the game for the Pelicans.
A big man should not be that fast and that nimble. He should not be blowing right by defenders and finishing on a break like that. That is something else I'm having a little bit of trouble wrapping my head around. He also should not be doing things like this.
No defensive balance by New Orleans to get back, but here.
Zion on the back end of the lob.
Throw it down, big man. This guy's played 13 NBA games. 13 NBA games total, and he has scored 20-plus in the last 9 straight, and he's only getting better. Check out this tweet from Mark Spears. Quote, Derek Favors told me Sunday that Zion Williamson said recently that he doesn't have his legs underneath him yet. Just take that in. End quote. Right, take that in and remember it. And think about it when he goes up and over Dwight Howard.
The Lakers still know they need probably another piece to the long jump shot.
Oh, Zion flying high for the rebound over Howard.
That's a guy listed at 6'6", 284. Getting up and over a 7-footer for an offensive board, but still does not have his legs underneath him yet. That just doesn't happen. At least it's not supposed to happen. But that offensive rebound, as amazing as it was not even the best part of that sequence. The Zion show was immediately overshadowed by the Caruso. Run the rebound sequence back one more time.
Zion flying high for the rebound over Howard. Hard to fly by. Good pass, ball. Oh! Caruso meets him at the top. Oh!
Fatality. Flawless victory. An absolutely perfect rejection. He met ball at the apex, got all ball, rejected the shot, forced the turnover, and left ball helpless on the floor. Bow before your bald god. Bow before your bald god. It's an Alex Caruso block party, and you're all invited. And Caruso was not done humiliating ball. There was even more to come.
Good pass, ball. Oh! Caruso meets him at the top. Oh! That's out of bounds, off a ball. Laker basketball on a thrilling rejection by Caruso.
Yeah. LeBron James.
Turn over to a fast break to a circus bucket while getting fouled. And yes, those were MVP chants that you heard. And hell yes, he deserved them. He's an absolute legend. How many times do I have to tell you this on this show, in this open? A legend. 8 points, 8 assists, 3 boards, 2 assists, and he did it in 17 minutes. It's a good thing that he didn't play starters minutes, or he would have broken the scoreboard and set the stat sheet on fire. Here was the bald god walking off the court at the end.
Hey,
man, another dub. Just continuing to build for the playoffs, right? One game at a time, just keep revving it up.
Keep revving it up. We're good. Just another dub. MVP, damn straight. And what about that block? What did Caruso have to say for himself after that amazing block on Lonzo?
Payne was just open. He was about to go up and try to lay it in. Fortunately, he kind of double-clutched and gave me a chance, and I just got my hand on the ball and got made a good play.
Taking it pretty hard on your former teammates tonight, aren't you?
I mean, yeah, I love those guys. You know, those are it's been some good days together, but playing against somebody, I'm trying to win.
Man, what a humble warrior. To hear him tell it, that was just about making some winning plays. Just about winning players, making winning plays. But I'm telling you, it is so much more than that. That's a winning player snatching souls at one end and then killing it at the other and then walking off to MVP chance. I said it at the top. I'll say it again right now. Give me a playoff series of these two teams in the first round. I want it. You want it. The entire world wants it. The only person who doesn't want that is Lonzo Ball. And I can't say that I blame him, because the Bald Eagle is going to be nightmare fuel to that cat for a long, long time. And if you're going up against the Caruso, one game is never enough. You need a full series. Man, Lonzo, from the second pick of the draft and future cornerstone of the LA Laker franchise in 2017 to wearing a Pelicans jersey and getting man's gamed by AC. Damn, life comes at you fast.
Man's game, bitch.
Back-to-back Laker games that had a playoff intensity type of feeling. I love it. My only question now is whether or not LeBron chased those red vines that he had on the bench with five French toasts drowned in syrup and a four-egg omelet. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I understand this guy runs and burns a different sort of fuel. But this whole body as temple thing, between Braun and Tyson Fury slamming 30 Diet Cokes a day and these two guys showing up the way they are, makes me wonder, why am I killing myself? This whole body is temple thing? I don't know. I never thought that I would say it, but old man Ike, you might be onto something.
It's lit!
It's lit! Oh, and by the way, after the show, Ritt went with, quote, a double lunch. I didn't know what it was, but come to find out, it's exactly how it sounded. He went double lunch. It's red. It's heart disease. Dude went mac and cheese and chased it with a Popeye's Sando. It's heart disease.
It's lit.
All right, some other things I want to get to. Another great game last night. Lakers, back-to-back games with playoff intensity. You know who you need to see, Ritt? Scott Cochran, man. I think we all do. He's on the move. Everybody is focused on Indy and the NFL Combine, but there is a major developing story in college football, and it involves none other than Scott Cochran. I'll have that for you. Also, a developing story in the NFL. The NFL PI rule. Can you believe this is still a thing? It is. Speaking of body is temple, a new world record for planking. And there's a reason why I'm going to get to that. That's coming up. I can't believe it, but this story jumped the day. It's still a story. Mason Saunders is a story. I'll have that for you too. Victor Hovland coming up later on this hour. Daniel Jeremiah next hour. Peyton Pritchard in the third hour. I've got a podcast, episode 118, to be specific, with Scott Pioli. It is coming out at the end of the day, or in the middle of the day. And more on the Buffalo Tour Stop. So the perfect hire can have an impact on your business for years to come. If you're hiring, you know this already. So when you need to find that person to help grow your business, LinkedIn Jobs is going to match the right talent with your open role quickly. LinkedIn has over 675 million members worldwide. I am one of them. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills that you're looking for, things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability. LinkedIn looks beyond the work skills and puts the job post in front of qualified candidates who match your business requirements perfectly. This is how LinkedIn makes sure that your job post is seen by the people you want to hire, people with the skills and the qualifications and other interests that will help your business grow. It's no wonder a person is hired every 8 seconds with LinkedIn, and why companies rated LinkedIn Jobs the number one hiring platform for delivering quality hires. So find the right person for your business with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want and get the first $50 off. Just visit LinkedIn.com/Rome, LinkedIn.com/ROME. Terms and conditions do apply.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Lakers handled their business last night against Pelicans. Bucks handled theirs against the Raptors. Talk some NBA. We're talking golf with Victor Hovland in about 15 minutes from right now. Quick reminder, Wednesday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So what you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask a question there. Don't tweet it. Don't email it. You have to go to that address. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hey, Jim, who had the more iconic, woo, Ric Flair at the Lakers game,
woo,
or P. Lair at the end of his Brad in Corona knack parody?
Brad, woo.
Ah. Got to run that back. I need to hear those side by side, back to back. Alvin, help me out.
Woo! Look who won. He came in there and he got it done. Brad and Corona. Lady Cone, they both got run. Both got run. Queens and Nika and even South and Corona. Rick and Buffalo. Fuck his dad. Some bitch Bodie playing. Canadian face up. Guess he's back. The number one. Brad. Woo!
Ah.
Woo!
I don't think I needed half the song. Just the woo at the end, Alvin. Boy, Alvin's got this unbelievable,
woo,
uncanny ability to take absolute crap and make it sound pretty good.
Woo!
Then again, how can that song be anything but good? My Sharona's awesome.
Woo!
I'm all about that tune. So which one's better? Ric Flair. Still better.
Woo!
He can't do what he used to do. He doesn't sound the way he used to sound. But he still sounds better than P. Lair at the end of the Brad.
You got to beat the man.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo. Romy, Ric Flair is a bleeping clown. Regards, old man Ike, wishing he had the energy and charisma that Ric Flair does at his age. GF and Lincoln.
Matt Rafferty is a clown.
Yeah, but Ike did go double lunch. And when I say double lunch, I don't mean like a double plant lunch.
Double.
I don't mean that he like went salad and lentils. I mean, he went mac and cheese and Popeye's Sando. Understand also, not a Sando and a side of mac and cheese. An entree portion of mac and cheese. A dinner portion of mac and cheese. And then chase that with a Popeye Sando. Bro, like, how do you have an entire plate of mac and cheese and think, nope, not good. Still not good. I need more. Did you miss that double convenience store breakfast?
Double.
What do you have to say for yourself, Ike? Quote, it was delicious. Hey, Jimmy, ask Victor Hovland what he thinks about lames who bring their multiple toddlers to PGA tournaments so they can use the greenside bunkers like their sandboxes and continually climb atop the ball washers like they are the 37 cat scratch posts at home. Signed, Denlesks, non-disruptive fanboy. If I didn't know any better, Hawk, I think that was directed at you. Jamie and Green Bay tweets, Garrett Ritt must be some type of cyborg with superhuman strength. If I eat what he does, I'd be in a food coma. Well, no, if you ate what he does, you'd be dead. And Rit will be soon, too. I hate that I said that, because if something bad happens, it's going to be out there. Drew, Rit's like, it's going to be on you. No, Rit, it's going to be on you. You are what you eat, dude. And you eat mac and cheese. No, it won't be on me if you die early. However, Drew in West LA will have me making light of you dying early. And if it happens, I am going to feel like crap. And it won't be my fault. I'm not the one forcing you to eat what you eat. Garrett Rip must be some type of cyborg with superhuman strength. If I ate what he does, I'd be in a food coma. No, you'd be in a real coma. And Rip, you will be soon if you don't make changes. And I'm not even one of those guys who's like super, super clean. But compared to you, I am. Let me tell you something, old man. Compared to you, I'm like James Lightning Wilkes or something. I'm Goggins compared to you, Rit. I'm Jocko. I'm Jocko, Lightning, and Goggins all rolled into one compared to you. In fact, don't change a thing, man. I feel better about me looking at you. You're like 10 years younger than me, but look 40 years older. Keep doing what you're doing, bro. Hey, Jim, when body is temple, and you have been 40 years past your expiration date. Like Rit. Rit has become a big thing on the show, man. What a great hire Rit was. Hey, Jim. When body is temple, and you have been 40 years past your expiration date, like Rit has been living, you can pretty much eat or drink anything you want. Warren Buffett still eats fast food every day, and he's a billionaire. To Rit, don't let the clones keep you down. You just keep doing you and smashing all the candy and hot cocoa you can. Jake in NYC. There is no rhyme or reason. I mean, you see those stories about people who jog 15 miles a day and drop dead at 40. And then you see Rit, who doesn't exercise at all, who smashes candy all day long. He'll probably live to be 140. You know, who, what, when? My doctor, man, I love my doctor. He is a brilliant man. I love him. I love him. But like I said one day, he said to me, listen, if you do as I say and you eat what I tell you to eat, I can get you into your ninth decade. That's what my doc told me. I said, doc, respectfully, if I just do whatever the hell I want, can you get me into my seventh decade? Because I'm fine checking out then. I don't want to be the most miserable guy ever to get to my ninth decade, only to see that I'm the only one left, and it's a miserable way to live as well. Especially if I didn't enjoy anything on the way there. That's Rit. Rit's like, hey, doc, can you get me to my third decade? Eating the way I eat, can you get me to my third decade? What do you mean third decade? Dude, aren't you 60? Good one, boss. No, really, Rit, aren't you 60? Boss, I'm 28. You know that. All right, let's not make it all about Rit. We have a show to do here, right? James Kelly would make it all about Rit. Man, James Kelly loves that stuff. I want to go back to LeBron for a minute. How the hell is LeBron doing this? How is he doing this with those kind of miles at that age and presumably eating what Tristan Thompson says he's eating? Namely, lots of French toast and then an omelet. When we come back, we'll talk some golf. The winner of the Puerto Rican Open, Victor Hovland, joins us next. Daniel Jeremiah, next hour. Peyton Pritchard in the third hour. An update on the Buffalo tour stop. And also, I want to talk about NFLPI. Now what? They made the rule change. They didn't bother to enforce it at all. Where does that leave us? All of that is still ahead. But I've got a sports update first. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I am Jim Rome. Welcome back. We are talking golf, and I'm pumped to do so. This is a great story. We are joined right now by a PGA Tour rookie, winner of the Puerto Rican Open, first rookie to win on tour in 2019-20, first Norwegian to win on the PGA Tour, winner of the 2018 U.S. Amateur, the low amateur at the 2019 Masters and U.S. Open. He broke Jack Nicklaus's U.S. Open scoring record for an amateur, and you've got the Honda Classic getting it away tomorrow at PGA National Resort and Spa. Victor Hovland is my guest. Victor, it's good to have you on. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Good.
How are you?
Good. I'm great, Victor. Great to have you. So let me ask you, you were the leader after 54 holes. So what kind of thoughts and emotions were you having as you hit the course on Sunday?
I obviously felt really nervous. It's the first time leading after three rounds. And certainly my mind kind of raced off to, wow, it's a real possibility that I might win tomorrow. But I was really confident after the way I played the first three rounds, and I'd say that really calmed me down.
And then on number 10, you chip in for birdie, which gave you a three-shot lead. So a three-shot lead after 10, what were you thinking at that point?
I didn't really know I was up by three. I saw after, I think it was after after ninth hole, I think, I didn't even look there. I can't remember which what hole I looked at the scoreboard. Maybe after eight, I think, and we were tied. So then after nine, there were no scoreboards there. And on 10, after I chipped in, I thought I just took the lead by one, or maybe it was tied. But then later found out that I was actually up by three. So after the triple bogey on 11, I thought it was at least trailing by two or three. But then on 14T, I checked, and so we were tied. So I was pretty surprised to see that, actually. I didn't really know where I was standing.
Victor Hovland joining us. All right, so you mentioned number 11. Things did not go so well there. You had that tough tee shot. You had a pair of less-than-ideal chips. You had the missed putt. Suddenly, you've got a triple bogey that dropped you back into that tie. So at that point, what were you thinking?
Was certainly not very happy, but I knew I was playing too well to kind of not give up, but really get down on myself. I knew that there's plenty of birdie opportunities coming in, and I knew if I just keep hitting my iron shots and maybe get a few putts to drop, I was right back in it.
Victor Hovland, my guest, it seems to me a lot of guys in your spot might have crumbled, might have fallen back the last few holes. That's not what happened. The story also goes that a little while back, you and your caddy, Shane Knight, had a conversation about the expectations that were on your shoulders. What was that conversation like, and how valuable was that to you?
It was just pretty general talk about, okay, you just got to kind of stay within yourself and obviously, that week I played really well, and I just kind of had to, you know, keep hitting my shots and not really get my head out of the tournament. It's so easy to kind of let your mind start to wander around and start thinking ifs and buts. But I was really proud of the way I was kind of in the moment throughout that week, even with that triple bogey. I didn't really let that really get to me. Obviously, it wasn't great, but I was able to stay within the moment and kind of take advantage of it.
Absolutely. As an example, Josh Teeter, who was playing ahead of you, birdied 15 to take the lead, so you had to do something in response, and sure enough, you chip in on 15 for an eagle to rip the lead back. How huge was that hole for you?
Yeah, I hit a great drive and the win. That final round kind of switched in the end there, so it was downwind, and we were able to reach it. Had a two iron, kind of flared it right, and wasn't an ideal spot. And I just tried to hit a bump and run, kind of roll through the fairway, and got a little lucky with the bounces there, and it just rolled straight in.
Victor Hovland joining us. And then Teeter, of course, bounces right back. He birdies 17 to tie it again. He finishes with a par on 18, and then you have that 30-foot putt for birdie and the win on 18. So what's going through your mind as you're standing over that putt, and then what did it feel like when it went down and you had your first PGA Tour win?
Yeah, I was standing over the putt, and I was kind of thinking back at all the putts that I'd missed. I realized I'd left a lot of the putts that I missed short. And especially with all the rain that was coming down in the end, the only thing I said to myself was, okay, I'm not leaving this short. And I gave it a good whack, and, and 6-7 feet out, it looked like it was in the middle of the hole, and I raised my hand and hit the back of the hole pretty hard, good thing it hit the hole.
Jugged it. No, that was something. That was a great moment. And then the PGA Tour tweets out the radio call from Norway of your winning putt, and it's just awesome. I mean, the announcers are going wild when the putt goes in. You're the first PGA Tour winner from Norway. What does that mean to you, and how much pride is there for you in that accomplishment?
Yeah, obviously, just to be a winner is great, but golf is a very small sport in Norway. We obviously have a lot of snow back home, and the opportunities to play golf are somewhat limited. But hopefully, if that can impact kind of the sport back home in any way, that's really cool to kind of be a part of.
I mean, Victor, it's amazing how far you've come, and it seems like, I don't know how it feels to you, it would seem like in real time it was a rather short period of time, but the story goes that your father took up golf when he was working as an engineer in the United States. So when did you first start playing, and what did you like about it?
I think I was about 3 or 4 when I first hit my first shots. But I would only play kind of casually, but I was... When I was 11, 12, that's kind of when I asked my dad that I wanted to practice in the winters, hit balls indoors and kind of take it to the next level. It's hard to say, really. I did Taekwondo and I did soccer at the time, but I really felt like I excelled more at golf and I wanted to try to get better there.
Right, so you went to Oklahoma State. It's a powerhouse for college golfers. Almost every pro that I've talked to loved his days and playing college golf. What were those days like for you?
Yeah, best 3 years of my life, I'd say. Just being a part of the team and with great coaches and, you know, traveling to awesome events and representing something more than yourself. There's a lot of pride there and obviously made a ton of friends and memories for the rest of my life.
Victor Hovland joins me for another moment or two. So that was a great time of your life, but it seems like you're always having a great time. It seems like you have a great connection with the fans already. So what's life on tour been like so far? Has it been what you expected?
There's certainly a bigger circus than what I expected. It's been kind of shocking to go all these different places and seeing people know who I am. If it's Japan or Puerto Rico or in Europe, it's been kind of crazy, but it's only a good thing. It means that you're doing something right.
Now that win means that you've got a full tour exemption through the 21-22 season. You've got spots in the PGA Championship and the Players Championship. I understand that you still have a lot more goals in front of you, but how good does it feel to know that you have that exemption and the spots in those tourneys?
Yeah, it's definitely a sense of relief in a little way where, you know, instead of kind of just playing in every single tournament that you get into, you can kind of start a schedule and playing what you want to and what you feel like your game kind of suits better. And obviously just gives you, you know, more of a protection to where you can just go all out.
He is a PGA Tour rookie, the winner of the Puerto Rican Open, the first rookie to win on tour in 2019-2020, and the Honda Classic gets underway tomorrow at the PGA National Resort and Spa. Victor Hovland, my guest. Victor, congrats on the win. Really nice to have you on the show. Thanks so much for doing that.
Thanks for having me. All the best.
You too. All the best. Victor Hovland, he is just 22 and gets his first PGA Tour win in his 17th start. Man, that world's got to be spinning so fast. Like you said, all of a sudden he goes everywhere worldwide and people know who he is. And the circus is a little bigger than he expected. It's a great story. Which takes me back to that one guy who either emailed, I think it was an email, like, hey, Rome, how come you don't talk more golf? What, talking to whoever won on tour every single week and then laying out lots of stories and rants is not enough? We literally talk more golf than anybody that's not on the Golf Channel. PGA Tour is beautiful, man. I love the tour. I love working with the tour. And they do such an amazing job of availing their athletes to this program. Believe me, we talk more golf. Not as much golf, more golf than anybody else. That's not just golf-centric or golf-exclusive. PGA Tour to us is like NASCAR to us. They're so great to deal with. I mean, when people say to me, who's your best interview ever? Arguably, Steve Elkington. I know he's the clone's favorite interview ever. Golf. That's always been amazing to me. Like, who's your favorite interview ever? Is it an NFL or an NBA or MLB or MMA or boxer? No, it's a golfer. Elk, we talk lots of golf on this show, so that's not surprising to me that you get a young guy like that after a big win like that who would show up like that. Why? Because we talk golf on this show all the time. Always have. Always will. As long as there is a show, and I'm the host of this show, we're talking golf. Always. I do show up at Torrey Pines once a year. Does that not count for anything? And as I mentioned, does it not count that we get the winner of whatever event that takes place? Like, I'd have to put a number on it, but I don't know, 50% of the time, 70% of the time? If the winner is doing media, he's doing this show. If the winner doesn't do media, then he's not doing any show. Anyway, that was a bad take. Hey, Rome, why don't you talk more golf? That'd be like saying, hey, Rome, how come you never talk about the Caruso?
I love when you talk.
Hockey, that's another thing. How come we don't talk more hockey, Rome? How come we don't talk more about your tour stop, Rome? Well, I can do that. The Buffalo tour stop. In case you missed it, big announcement last Friday. We are bringing back the World Tour, or at least one event, and we'll see how it goes. But it is in Buffalo. It is April 11th. It's at Shays. You have to have a ticket. If you want a ticket, go to Jim Rome World Tour. They are selling. There are obviously tickets left. We're off to a great start, and they are selling. VIP packages are for sale. Individual tickets are for sale. If you buy them between now and Friday, you do need a password. Go to JimRomeWorldTour.com. You clones get first crack at it. They go on sale for the general public on Friday. The password is jungle. Had a long conference call with my guy D-Dub yesterday. We're talking about potential guests. We're talking about the show. We're working this thing up. We are, I think, officially 45 days out. And yes, I'm taking this thing on the road to Buffalo in April. Man, there better be snow. There better be snow. If I'm leaving SoCal in the spring, there better be snow. Mafia, I better see you. Hey, Buffalo clones, who do you want to see at the event? Who should we try to get? It's been a long time since I was in Buffalo. 1-800-636-8686. NFL scouting combine's underway. The NFL draft right around the corner. But with everybody focused on those things, there is a major development in college football this week, and I want to get into that story. Also, regarding the NFL, remember in the NFC Championship game, you had one of the worst calls ever, a non-call on PI. It cost the Saints. They had to fix it. They did, or so we thought. What good is having a rule to address that sort of thing if nobody's going to take the time to enforce the rule? Now you come back a year later and they're asking organizations or they're asking teams, how do you feel about that rule? Do you want to run it back? And come to find out, they don't. So they didn't really fix anything. I've got that story for you too. Also, a world record. When you think Guinness Book of World Records, what do you think? You think about how there's a world record for pretty much anything. Lots of freaks. Lots of weird things. I mean, some really good ones. But lots of weird, weird things. Like the world record for how many toothpicks you could slam into your beard. I mean, should I take a run at that? Is there a world record for toothpicks to go into a goatee? Because my personal PR for that is 2. But I bet I could get 8 or 9 in. Anyway, there's a world record for anything. And I've got a story on that, too. Daniel Jeremiah next hour, but when we come back, I want to talk about this major development in college football and why I think that's such a big story. That's a good one. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Hour number 2, straight ahead.